Perek Ches, we are in the middle of Pasuk Vav. Let's read the Pasuk again. Simeni Chachoy Sam Alibecha. Klal Yisrael, the speaker here, would it appear that the speaker here is Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is making a request that Hashem should set us as a Choy Sam.
Jack,
quiet.
Jack.
Okay. Hashem is speaking, Klal Yisrael is speaking, and they're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that may you make me, may you set me as a chosam on your heart. In other words, Hashem, don't forget about us. Don't forget us. Put us, take a stamp, and stamp. A chosam is a seal. There are seals that are done in clay, and there are seals that are done in blood. We had that in the Megillah. In the Megillah, when Mordechai met Eliyahu HaNavi, he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, I know there's a gezeirah, I heard there's a gezeirah in Hashemayim to destroy the Jewish people. Is the gezeirah sealed in blood, or is it sealed in clay? If it's sealed in clay, then there is still hope. If it's sealed in blood, then there's no hope. And Eliyahu said it's only sealed in clay, so there's still hope for it to be undone. So here, some of the farshim actually want to go and connect that idea to this pasuk. The heart is the source of blood, right? The heart is the organ of the body which pumps the blood. So it's not just a chosam in blood, it's a chosam upon the makor of blood. The location with the blood is being pumped. It's a very significant chosam. Hashem, may you set me as a chosam al ibecha, ka chosam al zeroyecha. May you apply a seal to your arm. Ki az chamoves ahava, strong like death is the love we have for you. The reason why we are deserving that you should set us as a seal upon your heart and your arm is because we are in love with you. We have a very deep love, a love for you. Because the love that we have for you is more powerful than death. Kosha kishol kina. Now we're going to review very briefly the Metsudas David, because we're going to have here three different interpretations of what this means. The Metsudas David says is that our kinah, who is the one that has jealous? Are we jealous? Are the Umos Ha'olam jealous? Are they jealous in Shemayim? And there are many approaches. So the Metsudas David learns that our jealousy, what does it mean that we are jealous? When we look at the world, and we observe that the Umos HaOlam are living in safety and security. The Umos HaOlam are successful. They have their own homeland, and they have an economy, and everything is going their way, and no one is bothering them. It makes us jealous, because if there's any one nation in the world that deserves to have their own homeland, a nation that deserves to have their own way of life, and no one should harass them and have security, and people shouldn't tell them what to do, push them around, it's Klal Yisrael. So when we look on this very powerful idea, implies Bizman Hazeh, applies in all the years of Golis, Klal Yisrael never, that's the tragedy of Golis. Klal Yisrael don't have a place to call their own, to call home. Baruch Hashem, today it's a little bit different. Today, the state of Israel, it's a little bit different. Even still today, the Umos HaOlam, the United Nations, are passing resolutions, and the world is up in arms. Everything that we do, everything that happens, we're always subject to criticism, and we're always being put in a position of self-defense. But when we look at the Umar al-Solim and we see that they have what they need, we do not. So this is a jealousy that we have. Yeah?
The problem we often face is goes all the way back, is that this desire to be normal, like kakor ha-goyim, that's a problem.
Well, that's a different approach.
No, it's a similar idea. Jealous of the fact that other nations are so quote unquote normal. The problem is that we aren't normal.
We are unique. In
Shmuel and Ovi. Wasn't affected by Shmuel and Ovi.
That's what I was referring to.
It's for a melech.
But there, Hashem took it personally.
really yeah, Shmuel took it personally.
No, but Shmuel, because Baruch Hu Shmuel in the pasuk, don't take it personally. It's me that rejected, not you, Shmuel.
So first Shmuel took it personally, then Hashem said, "It's not you, it's me. It's not you." It sounds like a shidduch, right? but the Torah on the other hand does give us permission to have a melech. You can't deny the fact that part of Parsha Shoftim.
It's a concession. Some say it's a Canaan one of the melech. Some say the Amorot.
I don't know. It's a concession. It's an ideal. It's just it has to be done the correct way.
The ideal.
It should not be a melech that's done.
So it's a conception.
It should okay, but there are a lot of mafarshim on this. There is technically nothing wrong with us having a melech, and in fact, the melech adarab is a good thing. It's supposed to inspire us, to guide us, to get close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. If it's for the wrong reason, if the melech is to make a chol ha'amim, that's where we have this discussion in Sefer Shmuel that was problematic. Enoch Nami. Okay, fine. But here there is this idea ki azacham ki kosha kishol kina. The jealousy is our jealousy of Umos Olma, they are safe, secure, successful, and we are lacking. Then it says Rishofeha. Rishofeha, according to the Mitzvah, means the love. Rishofeha means coals. The coals are Rishve, Eish, are coals of Eish Shal He Vesya, coals of flaming fires. And we learned, let's review the second half of the Mitzvah. Let's review the second half of the Mitzudos in this Pasuk.
Is this your
on the second half of the Pasuk. Let's see. Pasuk Vav. In the Mitzudos, let's start where it says, Kosha Kishol Kina. The first part is very simple, so we don't need to review that. But the second half is a little more complex, especially when we're going to see Rashi and the Targum, where they differ. So let's see. Kosha Kishol Kina. It's hard. It's harsh. Harsh like the grave, the jealousy. What does that mean? Akina, hu davar kasha ki hayirida lashol. Kina, a feeling of kina is similar, comparable to the pain of descending into the grave. Uchilu toimarino akina v'hatayva v'hakavid maitzin es ha'odam min ha'olam. Kina is something which leads to death. Uchilu toimar b'zeh, and the pasuk means to say. If you, Hashem, will remove the love that you have from me, the jealousy that I will experience will be extremely painful. And here's the main point of the Mitzudos. What's the kina? What's the kina? The jealousy that I, Klal Yisrael, will suffer. When I look at the other nations of the world, I look at the other maidens. The marshal here is an Isha comparing herself to her friends, to her classmates. These other women, they're happily married, they're at home with their husbands, and they're in a state of joy. And I'm all alone. If you're going to separate yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to be all alone. When I look at other people, I'm going to see that they're successful, they're happy, I'm going to be jealous, period. If Hashem, you allow me to remain in exile, when I look at the world and every nation, every country, every nation has their own homeland. They have a homeland and they have success and they have an economy and I am all alone. This brings to me pain of jealousy that is equivalent to the pain one experiences in descending into the grave. Now that is very frightening because no one ever told us what happens when a person dies. No one told us what it's like, the pain that the Nesham experiences when it descends into the grave. These are all mysterious things. And between the lines of this Mesuda stuff, it's telling us that that's the ultimate pain. We think that people suffer so much to get out of this world today, due to technology and medical advances in the medical field, they can torture a person to leave this world. So you think once the person already suffered so much, and his neshama already is in the next world, that's it, it's all over. So it says no. There's even more pain when the neshama descends into the grave. Or maybe what it means is very still. It means the process of dying. It doesn't mean literally the neshama descending into the grave. It means the process of dying, which means that in ancient times it was also painful to leave this world. Today it's a lot more painful, it would seem. Today, like Rahman al-Islam, it's not so easy. Someone said to me, it's not so easy to get out of here. They don't let you go so fast.
Is it neshama really suffering, or is it the goof that's suffering?
I don't know. The Chazal say that kosher rima labasar kemachat, a worm that eats away at the flesh of a corpse, is painful to the neshama, equivalent to being pricked by a needle when one is alive. Now we know that's not a pleasant feeling to be pricked by a needle. So Chazal do make this comparison. No one can tell us what these things mean. How I shall like them. Okay, next. Rishofeha, the last words, the coals. Now what is the Rishofeha? Rishve Ishav Havesya. Gacheles Ho'ahava, the coal of love. The coal of love, he kirishbe esh vishalheves gedola. The love that we have for Kadosh Baruch Hu is equivalent to a burning coal. We discussed this last week. The gacheles ha'ahava, he kirishbe, it's like coals of esh, a fire, kishalheves gedola, like a very large flame. Ratzalaymer, ahavti elecha, my love for you, Hashem, shemura le'oilam, is guarded forever. Kechamimus ha'gacheles ha'miskayemes manuba, like the heat of a coal that is miskayemes for a very long time. The Gami Chazaka, there are two different mildness here in this expression. Number one, it's a coal. A coal can remain hot for days. But on the other hand, it doesn't have the mila of, doesn't seem like it's hot. A shalheves, it's obvious to all that there is fire. So as the other mila, the Gami Chazaka kilaheves esh, it's also powerful, like a flame of fire, gedoy, like a large flame of fire, serpe chazaka, which is burning with strength. The nimshal is like the mashal that means our love for Kadosh Baruch Hu is steady. That's the gacheles, and it's powerful like the shalheves. Okay, let's now see Rashi. Rashi is a bit different. Pasuk Vav, Simeni Chachoisam Alibecha. We ask Hashem to set us as a seal upon His heart. Bishvil Oisa Ahava, due to the love that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are deserving. Tichasmeni Alibecha, we are deserving that you, Hashem, set us on your heart, that you stamp us upon your heart. Shaloi Tishkacheni, what's the significance of the pasuk here referring to the heart more so than any other part of the body? The heart is the part that remembers. The mind does not necessarily remember. You can forget. Torah says many places, Pen Tishkach, Es Hashem Elokecha. The mind is prone to forget. But the heart never forgets. The heart, that's why v'hoyu ha'davodim o'ila sh'anochim b'tzavecha hayam al levavecha v'shinantam levanechem libartabam. Remembering something the heart never forgets. V'tira siki azakam avas ahava, Hashem, you shall see and acknowledge that the love that we have for you is strong like death. Ho'av, now Rashi elaborates a bit more than the Mitzudos. What does it mean it's strong like death? Ahava shehavticha, the love that I have expressed for you, olai, it is to me, k'neged misasi. To me, it stands parallel to death. Now what does it mean it stands parallel to death? Rashi explains, shani neheragti olecha. Look at history. Look back at history. Klal Yisrael, multiple times throughout history, has been given up their neshamas for the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all starting with Avraham Avinu. He was the first person to give up his neshama, to be willing to give up his neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he was thrown into the Kastim. The truth is, he wasn't the first. The first was really, he was the first. He gave up his, he was willing, he allowed himself to be thrown into Ur Kastim. But who actually died? Terach. Terach was the first one. Terach was hedging. I'll do whatever happens. Haran, I'm sorry. Haran, what did I say? Terach? Haran, I'm sorry. Haran was hedging. He was what's going to be? If Avraham will survive, then I'll also do this. If Avraham will not survive, then I won't do this. Avraham survived, so Haran said, okay, you can throw me into the fire as well. Haran wasn't a tzaddik, so Haran died. But yet Haran gave up his life. You cannot deny the fact that Haran indeed did give up his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's chus? And that's why in the Farshim explained, that's why Avraham felt compelled. Avraham felt compelled to look after his son Lot. Avraham risked his life for Lot. Why? Why did he go all the way out, all the way to Meisr Nevesh? Because Lot, because his father, he owed it to his father. His father was a believer in Avraham's cause. His father gave up his life al kiddush Hashem. He gave up his life for the cause of Avraham, and therefore it was the duty of Avraham to be Meisr Nevesh and invest in Lot. And that's why he went and he was Moser Nefesh to save him from the four kings that conquered the five kings. And that's why when it came a point in time, he had told him to separate. He pardoned Me'olai. But when Hashem said that he will destroy Sodom, Avraham was mispalel that Lot be saved. And indeed, in Avraham's chus, Lot was saved. All because of Haran. Haran was willing to give up his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And from that, there are ramifications. And that is the Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach comes from Lot. Why? What chus does this person? Lot obviously was no tzaddikal. He committed the terrible avera with his daughters. So what chus does Lot have that from him should come Melech HaMashiach? It's very simple. He was the first person that actually gave up his life al kiddush Hashem. And even though you'll tell me, oh, but his kavanah wasn't 100% l'shem shemayim, you'll say he thought, listen, if Avraham survived, I'll also survive. Okay, fine. It's not a chasaron. Just because your kavanah was not 100% l'shem shemayim, the bottom line is you threw yourself into a fire. Okay, that speaks volumes. Throwing yourself into a fire, despite the fact, what?
He was pirish from Avodah Zara, from the fact that he threw himself in, not clear. But the fact it was clear that he didn't want to bow down.
It speaks volumes. The fact that he allowed himself to be thrown into the fire, even though it was only mainly because Avraham survived, so Avraham will save him, it doesn't matter. When there's a real fire in front of you and you're willing to allow yourself to be thrown into the fire, that's a very great act of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. And he was the first one.
He didn't do Avodah Zarah.
Right, he rejected the Avodah Zarah. And furthermore, he allowed himself to be thrown into the fire. And who's the one who inspired him? Avraham. And in reward for that, Kam comes Lot, and from Lot comes Melech HaMashiach. But Rashi refers to Klal Yisrael in general, and therefore the proof that we have love for you, the Azza Kamavis Kin, is the fact that we have been willing to give up our lives for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, next, Koshe Kishol Kina. Okay, so here is where Rashi is coming to significantly differ from the Mitzudos. Who is the one that is jealous? Hatagar, the Kina is the Kina of the Umois HaOilam. This is the answer, this touches upon the answer to the age-old question, why do they hate us? Okay, this is a question which the greatest minds have grappled with throughout the ages. Why do the Umos HaOlam hate us so much? What have we done to them? What do they want from us? America was asking this question about themselves. Why do the Muslims hate the Christians? Okay, that's a whole different topic. But we've been.
There's a linkage.
Is there a linkage? It's not the same. You cannot. It's a great topic. It's a great topic. Why does the world hate? Do they hate the Jews? And why do the Muslims hate the Christians? Terrorism. Terrorism is basically all boils down to Bush. Bush made this thing with one of his famous speeches. Why do they hate us? What do we do to them? What could we give them to appease them? Should leave us alone. Truth is, you can't give them anything. Whatever you'll give them the whole world. They'll still try to destroy the world. No matter what you'll give them, they'll destroy the world. Okay, so that, but that's a different topic. But the question is, the age-old topic is, why do the Umos HaOlam hate us? On the top of the list is this pasuk. And that is, at least according to Rashi's interpretation, not the Mitzvah's interpretation, Rashi's interpretation, good morning, is because of jealousy. They're jealous deep down subconsciously, or their neshamos acknowledge the gift that we have and something that they could have had. At the time of Matan Torah, Hashem approached all of the Umos Olam and offered them a chelek in the Torah. And there's a debate, what exactly does that mean? Does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to give the Umos Olam Taryag Mitzvos? That's a very simple interpretation. They could have been received the entire Torah. But a more advanced, a different interpretation is that Hashem never meant to give the Umos Olam Chamishe Chumshe Torah Tayag Mitzvos. Hashem wanted to give each Umah selective mitzvos, certain mitzvos. You'll have a mini Torah. A mini Torah, 10 mitzvos, 20 mitzvos, 30 mitzvos. Each Umah has a certain weakness, has a certain need for a certain set of mitzvos, and they would have had Shechina, Ruach HaKodesh, a certain chel. Klal Yisrael, from my Sibereshis, was meant to receive the whole Torah, Chamish Chumshe Torah, Taryag Mitzvos. But the Umos Olam, they had a chance, and they blew it, big time. And therefore, when they see Klal Yisrael succeed, and they see the success of Klal Yisrael through the Simchas Hana of Torah and Torah Mitzvos, they're jealous. They're jealous. Jealousy is only when it's shaykh to you. You're not jealous of something that you have no shaykhs to. A peasant is not jealous of the princess. It's not shaykh for him to marry the princess. So it doesn't bother him to see nobility, to see the grandeur, the splendor, the regal surroundings and the trappings of Namalchus. It's not nogea. It's not shaykh to me. But when it could have been me, and I lost out, burn with jealousy. The Umos Olam had a shaykhis, had an opportunity to Kabbal the Torah. They blew it, and deep down in their DNA of their neshama, they know it. And when they see Klal Yisrael succeed in Ruchnius, they burn with jealousy. And that's why they hate us. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk according to Rashi. Rashi here is giving us an answer to the age-old question. Kosha kishol kina. It's kosha kishol, Rashi. Hatagar, the quarreling, the fighting, the wars, shenisganu, which have been provoked through jealousy, the shenisgaru, to provoke, provocation. B, Ha'umos, that the Umos Olam have targeted me with their jealousy and their hatred. Bishvilcha, it's because of you, Hashem. It's because of the gift. It's because of the unique bond of love that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're chosen, and the chosenness, it's the love, and this love is found in the bond of Torah. Kinnah, then Rashi goes on to say, what is the meaning of the word kinnah? What? Kina b'chol makom, he has an old French word, lashon achizas halev linkom makom. It means a call to action. Okay, is that a good translation?
Ferment.
To ferment. So it says
ferment.
From the word ferment, lashon achizas halev linkom makom, a call for action. Okay, that's a powerful marketing term. If you take marketing. You have to always have in your advertisement. Look at any good advertisement. There's always a call for action. He does have a nice picture. A nice picture, nice colorful picture that doesn't tell you what to do. It's a very weak advertisement. You have to have somewhere on an advertisement a call for action. And that's what it means over Achiza Salev. Wake up the heart. Grab your heart. Your heart is the part of your essence that calls, that demands you take action. Limkaim Nakam, and this example means to exact revenge, to take revenge to of Klal Yisrael for what we have and what they do not have. Vayistim Esav liYaakov, Esav hated Yaakov. That's also part of their jealousy. Esav had a chance. Esav had a chance to receive the brachos. Esav lost the brachos. He's jealous of Yaakov. Yaakov was the one who received the brachos. So this is halacha biyodenu Esav sone liYaakov. What about Yishmael? Where is their jealousy? The jealousy is ki lo yirash ben ha'om hazos imbini in Yitzchak. Yishmael believes he's the Yoresh. I'm the Irish. I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest son of Avram Avinu. It was meant for me to inherit the entire world, the legacy of Avram Avinu, and I was driven out by Sarah Imenu. What's very interesting is that if he would have behaved himself, there's no guarantee he would have been driven out. The only reason why Yishmael was driven out is because Vateres Sarah es Yitzchak mitzachik. It tells us she saw that he was mitzachik. He was making leitzanis of Yitzchak. He was shooting arrows. What would have happened? Big question. What would have happened if Yishmael would have behaved himself? Yishmael would have just left Yitzchak alone. He would not have shot arrows. He would not have made these snide comments. Ki me'avi melech nis'abra sarah. He would have been a good little boy. He wouldn't have been, obviously, he wouldn't have been a tzaddikal. He's not in the madrig of Yitzchak. But it never would have happened. It never would have happened that Sarah would say to Avram, ki goresh ben ha'oma hazos, get rid of him. And then Avram would not have had a conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu would have decreed, ki b'yitzchak kol asher toim asar shma b'kolo, ki b'yitzchak yikorei l'chozora. This whole sequence of events would not necessarily have happened, at least to the same intensity, the same degree. So what? Good question. The Ramban, we don't like to criticize the Avos. The Ramban does criticize the Avos. Ramban says about Avraham, Choto Gidoylo, Choto Avraham. He transgressed a very great sin by going down to Mitzrayim. So it's not for us to criticize, but the Ramban, if you want to go with those Mahalchim, you go and the Torah's come to super magnify imperfections in the Avos, I don't know what to say. It's a good, tough question. Avraham Avinu, he did not discipline. Was it possible to discipline? You go talk to all these experts on parenting and chinuch, and many of them will tell you that you can do everything right, and it just doesn't work out. It's not your fault. You read it all the time. What? It's all mazel. Like I once heard from a mechanic, from Wallerstein, from Zachary Wallerstein. He knows parents that don't even know the name of their children. They have nothing to do with their children. They work, and yet their children are gems. They're gems. They told me they chacham, the bali chasadim, and they do the best shidduchim, and everything they do is the best. And then there are parents that do everything right. They go to every PTA meeting, and they take their kids out, quality time, and you name it, what they've done for their children. And the children, they're a pegara. You meet these people. They're mashchisen. So how do you explain it? Like you said, it's mazel. There are no guarantees for anything. So you're going to have... What? He taught him, he was mechanichim. But Yishmael did not turn out, obviously. Look what's going on out there today. Yishmael did not turn out the way Avraham envisioned. It didn't work out. So who are you going to blame? You can't blame anyone. It's a very dangerous thing. Okay. Let's over here... We have here this idea of a very powerful stuff from Rashi. Rashi here is telling us that the kina here of kosher kishol kina, the jealousy that they have is a jealousy of death. They'll do anything that they possibly can, even death. They'll even kill in order to take revenge, in order to satisfy the pain they have in the jealousy of what is lacking. Okay, Eish, then the last words of the pasuk is Eish shal havesia, Rishafim shal Eish chazaka, powerful, strong coals, habam mikoyach shal haves, coals that come from flame, shal gehenim. We're not just talking about over here ordinary flame. We're talking over here about flames that are, that's why the ka. The emphasis over here is shal heves yoh. So the last two letters, the yud hey, appear to be holy. How? What's holy? It means a spiritual cleansing. Gehenim is a very interesting idea. What the Targum here seems to say is that Gehenim is a holy place. We think of Gehenim perjury. It's a place of all the Rishayim, it's the Koychas Atumah and the Klipas and who knows what, all these expressions. That's not so. To go to Gehenna, we have this idea many times, you have to have a zechus to go to Gehenna. The Baalei Kabbalah say is that there are neshamas that are not worthy of entering Gehenna. And after they leave this world, they just hang in limbo. They just fly in no man's land.
Homeless.
And that's even more painful for the neshama than going to Gehenna. Because at least in Gehenna, it's therapeutic. There's a process. There's a goal. The greatest simcha in life is to have goals. People complain, there's certain things, certain like yeshivas. The first question they ask in the yeshiva, you go to a yeshiva, are there goals? Are there goals? Or is it just abstract? You go there and you learn and you do this and you dive and you learn. What's the goal? Is it goal oriented? After the neshama leaves, what happens to the neshama? The neshama needs a goal. If the neshama is just gonna hang out and fly around l'shot ba'olam without any goals, that itself is more painful.
Who makes the goals for the
neshama? Hashem makes the goals for the neshama. Well, in the neshama, sometimes it's not worthy. If the neshama is soiled, is contaminated, so Hashem will say for you at this point in time, you're gonna have to wait. That's part of the goal. Part is the torture of not having the opportunity to enter Gehenna. Gehenna is only 12 months.
So like a worker, you reevaluate them after.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah. Gehenna is an 11th month program. 11th month program. That's it. There's no one stays on for a shana bet. You go to Eretz Yisrael. You go to Eretz Yisrael. I know a guy who was making fun of his grandchildren. He's a real Litvak, and his grandchildren like Israel. He goes, yeah, they go for shana bet. Bet. He always likes to focus on the letter Beis. I grew up with Beis, but my grandchildren, it's called Bet. They're going for Shana Bet. There's no Shana Bet in Gehenna. There's only an 11-month program.
Can't fail again?
Can't fail again. No child left behind. Everyone graduates. And once you're there, everyone graduates. And that's what it says. That's why it's called Shal HaVesyoh. It's powerful stuff. It's Shal HaVesyoh. It's the flame. But we append to the flame two letters. Yud-Kei is Hashem's name. It's a fire of Gehenna. That's a holy fire. It's holy because there's a goal. The goal is to cleanse the neshama, to prepare it for the next step. The next step is whatever that is, Gan Eden, the Olam HaNeshamos, Yeshiva Shalmaila, all of these things which we are very mystical. But whatever it says over here, that's what Rashi over here is saying, Shafecha Shal Eish Chazak Habo Mikoach Shal Hevesh Shal Gehenim, that's the Ka. And then he points out some grammar, Tam HaZokeif Kagodol. On the word Rishpei, there is a Zokeif Godol, that line with a colon next to it. Mm-hmm. See, today they would say it's a smiley, right? Today they would say something. Type of
curve.
What? Not a straight line. Okay. Today they would say some other. They have a whole dictionary. There's a whole dictionary of what all the different symbols mean. What's it called?
Emojis?
That's called. It's a whole dictionary. So Tam Hazokev Hagadol Hanakud Al Rishpe Milamdenu Al Chibas Al Tevas H. It's coming to explain to us because Rishpe Hazokev Gadol is a mafsik. It's a mafsik, which means the word is over, the pasuk is over, and then the following words is a new expression. And therefore, Shehi Devuka L'Shal Haves. The word H. The next word H is Devuka to the word Shal Haves Ka. Loimar to tell us, Eish shall have a fire that comes from a flame that is holy. So it's really three words. It's Eish shall have ka. Also, Rishafech, I guess it's double. Rishafech, its coals are Rishpei, our coals, comma. Now that we've concluded this expression, we now know that the next three words, it's really 2/3, are one theme. Eish shal heves ka. A fire that is flaming, which has the added ingredient of spirituality. And that combination is Gehenim. Gehenim is where the neshama is purged for a future. So this is... So what does that refer to? Now that we know what these words mean, it refers to the hatred. Well, I'm not really clear what this means then. The Pasuk Vav, according to Rashi, says that we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We ask Hashem that you should make me like a seal on your heart. A seal, a signet, a seal on your arm. Because we love you. Our love to you, Hashem, is comparable to death. We're willing to be Meiser Nefesh. The Umos Ha'olam hate us. They hate us. Kosha Kishol Kina. And Rishafecha. So who now we describe Gehenim? Who's going to Gehenim? Who's going to Gehenim? Is this the Gehenim of the Umos Ha'olam? Why should they even deserve Gehenim? The Gehenim is too good for them. I don't know what it means. Maybe what it means is that the hatred that they have for us in this world is our Gehenim. In other words, just as there is a Gehenim in the next world, there's a Gehenim in this world. Gehenim is a good thing. Easy to say, right? Easy to say. Gehenim, yeah?
Yeah, I want to know, what do you mean love is equal to death?
So Rashi explains that we're willing to die for Hashem. Mavis means we're willing to die for Hashem. The first part is ki aza chamavis ahava. Then when it says koshal kishol kikina, it means that the jealousy that they have, nothing, the jealousy is so intense, there's nothing they would not do. They'll be suicide bombers. No. Their hatred for us is so intense, they'll give up their lives for that hatred. Jihad. Crusade, jihad, crusade. So their hatred for us is so intense, they'll do anything, they'll give up their lives. Kosha, kishol, kina. Then when it says, I don't know what this means, it says now, rishafeha, rishbe eshal havesya, the coals are coals of Gehenna. Now what does that mean exactly? Does that mean that they're going to Gehenna?
They're going to Gehenna.
Not necessarily. There is such a tradition that goyim, that people who are goyim, who are extremely wicked, are not even deserving of Gehenna. Gehenna is rehabilitation. Gehenna, they do not necessarily go there. So maybe indeed over here, that's what it means, they do go to, maybe they do have Gehenna. Or maybe what it means is that it's a continuation of their jealousy. The jealousy that they have for us and the way they express it causes us pain. The pain that we experience in this world is a pain of Gehenna. Gehenna is not only in the next world. Gehenna is in this world. In this world. And just like we know that Gehenna is, the goal of Gehenna is rehabilitation, the goal of Gehenna is to become better through the suffering, so, and that is true in the next world, by the Olam HaNeshamos, suffering in this world is also for the purpose to make us better people. Not that we want Chas v'shalom lo yaleinu, easier said than done. But after the fact, when we look back in our life and we see the difficult things that we've gone to, the goal is that we should have grown from those situations that we were forced into. So maybe that's what it means over here. It means over here that the hatred that they're expressing towards us is a very intense hatred. But the silver lining is ka. Hashem is there, and He's trying to improve us in this world in preparation for the next world. Okay, before we do the talking, there's a few short verlich I want to prepare. There's a very famous legend. This legend is recorded. It goes back maybe even 1,000 years. It's recorded in many svarim. I saw it brought down over here in the Shul Rav. And he goes into a halachic analysis. But the story is, there was once a king, before we get to the king, there were two friends. Once upon a time, there was a village, there was a city, an ancient city, and there were two fellows who were the best friends, friends like none other. They had for each other a bond, they were soulmates. They would do anything for one another. The day came when one of these two friends got into trouble with the law. And the king, after he was summoned and he was taken to court, the king said, "You have committed a terrible crime, and the punishment is death." So the fellow said, "Okay, I accept my fate, I'm guilty, but do me a favor. You know, I have a wife, I have children, and I have creditors. Let me go home at least. Let me travel to where my family is, or let me do something in order to collect the money, or at least to write up the documents so that my wife and children will not be destitute. That after I die, they'll be able to collect the debts, the money that is owed to me. Because if I don't take care of these business matters before you put me to death, they'll never be able to collect what is owed to them, and they will be poor, they'll be a burden to the community, and they'll be aniyim marudim, they'll be avyonim." So the king said, I hear what you want, but I'm afraid if I let you go, you're a flight risk. You'll never come back. So this fellow said, listen, I'm his best friend. I'm a guarantor. If my friend does not come back, you can kill me in this place. I give my life. I will give up my life if my friend does not come back by this and this date. The king said, okay, so be it. He let this fellow out to go take care of business, to put his house in order, and this friend stayed in the palace, stayed in jail, and the day came, and the friend did not show up. Got late in the day, later was the end of the day, it was almost time of Shkia Sachama, and the king said, okay, put the noose around the neck of this, the guarantor, and we're going to kill him. As they were raising him, as they were picking him up to put him on the gallows, suddenly, I'm here, don't kill him, I'm here. So this fellow said, you know, they already put me in the noose, I'm already hung up. Listen, my friend, I love you. Live a good life, a wife and a children. It's okay. I'll go. I'm already ready to go. Let me go in your place. It's already halfway over. Let me die in your place and you can live a good life. The friend said, no such thing. And they began fighting and shouting. And the king was standing there baffled. He could not believe that it existed in this world such a thing that two people can have such love. That's they trace this to this pasuk, a love, ki aza chamodes ahava. The love between two friends can be so intense that such a thing could happen. One person can guarantee his life as a guarantor, and then when he comes late, he says, listen, I'm already in the noose, let me already die for you and you'll live a good life. He couldn't believe this. So the king said, take off the noose, I want to speak to these two people. He said, I'm moichel the crime, and you can live, and I'm going to reward you with wealth and kavod. Just one tanai. There's one tanai. I want to be a third partner in this relationship. I want into this relationship. So the legend goes that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking, V'yahavta lo'echa kamocha, Ani Hashem. That's a pasuk. Where is that pasuk? Where is that pasuk? Kedoshim? V'yahavta lo'echa kamocha, Ani Hashem. You shall love your friend like you love yourself. These two individuals, they were Mekayim, V'yahavta lo'echa kamocha, Ad Kedekach, each one was willing to give up the life of the other. Ani Hashem. As long as there's achdus, it's good. Make me a partner in this love. I also want to have a shutfus in this love. And then those commentators who quote that medrash, they tie this into this pasuk. This really what it means. Ki aza chamav esava, the love that we have for you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is strong like death, is illustrated in this story. Over here in this sefer, it's very interesting. He says that this whole story is shalei kahalacha. Because you're not allowed to do this. The whole story from beginning to end is shalei kedin. Because if a person, you're not allowed to be a guarantor for someone else's life. If a person is chayev misa, there's no such thing in halacha where one person can say, let this person live, and I will go in his place. Shalei halacha. And then when the person, even let's say you have a hechatim, so the person indeed, he came back, and he's guilty, and the noose is around the other person, and he says, no, once already it's around my neck, let me darn this person. This whole story is shalei halacha. Okay, that's the way it goes into halachic discussion. So how could this story be a legend? But even though maybe halachically it's not correct, but the message is certainly very, very powerful. It illustrates a concept where you could have, it's not a medrash, this is a legend, but it's cited in many holy svarim, where you could have such a let's say a medrash, and the medrash is shaloi kahalacha, 100%, but yet the message is lahalacha. The message is how far do you go with these type of stories in midrashim and Amari Chazal. Okay, now let's see the Targum. There are more things. Let's first see the Targum in this Pasuk. Targum has a bit of a different approach. Pasuk Vav. It's not a Medrash. It's not a Medrash. It's an old, old legend. Folk tale. Pasuk Vav in the Targum. Omrin b'nei Yisrael b'yomahahu l'riboyin hoin. Klal Yisrael will say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that day. That day refers to the day of the coming of Mashiach, the day of the Gula Hasida, the future redemption. Bivu minoch, I beg of you, Hashem, Shavi yosan kiglof de'izka alibach. Put me as a seal, like a seal of a signet ring upon your heart. Kiglof de'izka, like the seal of a ring. Al ed ra'och, on your arm. The same, basically, translation of the word deposit. Akachlesam. You have a stamp. Stamp me on your heart. Stamp me on your arm. In other words, remember me, and remember me, and also call for action. Also protect me. Your arm shall have this imprint, and you shall remember me. You should no longer send us into exile. Because the love for you, Hashem, is strong as death. Similar to what it said in Rashi and the Mitzvot. Now here we go into a little bit, here's where we deviate. The chasina, and powerful, ka gehinom, like a henam, kinaso the amemaya mikhanin lon. The hatred that the umos ha'olam have for us is powerful like Gehenim. The umos ha'olam hate us. They hate us with such an intensity like none other, equivalent to the Sha'ol. The Targum is translating the word Sha'ol here as Gehenim. Rashi did not translate the word Sha'ol. He just says that the Umos Olam, they hate us. They're jealous of us. They want to take revenge. But it does not say what the word Sha'ol is. Here he says the Sha'ol here is Gehenim. Udvavu dinatron lon damyon ligumron de asha. And here the Targum of this probably what Rashi means as well, and the hatred, the quarreling that the Umos Olam have prepared for us, their plans of fighting and war and arguments that they're preparing for us is compared to Domya, similar Ligumrin, to coals, the Asha, hot fiery coals, de Gehinom, of Gehenom,
the fire of Gehenom,
Devaro Yosei Hashem, which Hashem has created, Biyoma Tinyono Levrias Olma, on the second day of creation. So that's what Shalhevesia. Shalhevesia is the fire of Hashem. Hashem created. When did Hashem create Gehenom? Tradition on the second day. Here's a Makar. It's very hard to find such a Makar when we know that Hashem created Gehenom. Gehenom was created on Monday. Why Monday? Because on Monday, Machloikis was created. Division. The first division took place on Monday. So division. With division comes Machloikis. Therefore, there's a need for Gehenom. Liyakado, base Polche, Polchono, Nuchro'o. That's from the Nuchro of the Kaddish. And that fire will be burned to the people who are Oivdei, Avoy de Zara. That's the ultimate machloikis. To say that there's someone other than the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the ultimate machloikis, and the fire of Gehenna was created for those people to be burnt in it, in within. Okay, now before we go...
Why do they're
jealous of us.
What?
They're jealous. We should discuss their jealous. Jealousy.
It can't be.
There are many reasons. There are many reasons. But one of the top reasons is the jealousy. Jealousy that there are different types of jealousy. They're jealous of the success. They're jealous of the subconscious spiritual awareness. Every human being has a spiritual side to them. And they're frustrated why they don't succeed in coming close to their Creator. And when they see that Klal Yisrael is very successful in satisfying their spiritual quest, their spiritual yearning, they're jealous. Why can they succeed? And the answer is because they don't have the tools. We have the tools to succeed of Torah and Mitzvot. Without Torah and Mitzvot, you're just groping in the darkness.
Or the opposite. The idea that... that they reject God and they reject the moral imperatives of Hashem, and since we represent those...
Well, why have they rejected it? They have rejected in frustration. They have rejected in frustration. When you can't attain it, this is a very, very deep discussion. What these things...
Complex
issues, very complex issues. Okay, now before we go for one other idea that comes to mind that I saw over here, one of the Sfarim is, what is the significance of this? Why over here are we trying to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you shall remember us with the image, with the mashal of a chaysam? So one of the common answers given is a chaysam is always represents the opposite. chaisam, when you create a stamp, you always prepare the inverse. And when you put the stamp on paper or on clay, so it will always produce the inverse of what you are pressing against that surface. When we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember us, we're basically asking Hashem should be mahapech. This theme appears many places in Chazal. Vayahapech Hashem Elokecha es haklala levracha ki ahevecha Hashem Elokecha. When a person does tshuva, me'ahava, his chayvos turn into zechuyos. The averos are nasos kizuchuyos. There's a concept of being mahapech, of overturning and overturning. So we as a Kadosh Baruch Hu to remember us, unfortunately there's a lot of bad things to remember. There's a lot of chait. There's a lot of problems. When we ask Hashem to remember us is to take that and to it should be the opposite. Just like a chosim, it produces the seal, it produces the opposite. So too, we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to take our detriments and turn them into merits. Okay, another idea, another medrash. This medrash over here is one of the sources that we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. From where do we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin? We know of the famous Chazal that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'ra'isa es acharai ufonai lo yera'u. I'll show you my back. I will not show you my front." Chazal say Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the dal of the kesher shel tefillin. That means Hashem wears tefillin. And the Gemara Masechta Brachos has a discussion what exactly is written in Hashem's tefillin. Therefore, for parashios, and the first one is Umi ke'amcha Yisrael goy echad bares. This pasuk, the Medrash here in Shir Hashirim Medrash Rabbah, and this pasuk elaborates upon the theme of Hashem's tefillin, and it says that this pasuk over here is the choisam al libecha. This refers to the tefillah shel rosh. Why would the Tefillah Shel Rosh refer to Libecha? We normally associate the Tefillah Shel Yad, Kesharetem La'os Al Yodech V'yulutot in the Shabi V'yuhad Omei L'Shenochem Etzavcha Yom Al Libecha. But in this context, since the next pasuk it goes on to say Kachosam Al Zeroy Echa, that clearly refers to the Tefillah Shel Yad, by default we have no choice but to say that Tefillah Chosam Al Libecha is the Tefillah Shel Rosh. And the explanation is because the Ritzuos of the Shel Rosh come down until the heart. There's a machlokes. There are two ritzuos. One comes down to the navel, and one comes down to the lave. There are two ritzuos. So since the tefillah shel rosh, it extends to the heart, at least one of the ritzuos, that's why the choisam, the seal of Klal Yisrael, we are the seal of Klal Yisrael, which are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's head, which comes down to Hashem's heart. That's the tefillah shel rosh. And then there is the choisam al zeroy echa, which is the tefillah shel yad. Hashem also wears tefillin. He is bound, he is tied to his nation, to Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go further. Next pasuk. I think there are things I'm forgetting. Maybe we'll come back when I remember them. We'll come back to it. Okay, let's go to pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Mayim rabim lo yuchlu l'chabeses ohava. Great waters cannot extinguish the love. Unaharos lo yishtifuha. Rivers cannot flood this love, to sweep it away, to sweep away. Im yitein ish es kol hon beso bo'ahava. If a person would give all of his money in order to take away the love, in order to learn a different interpretation of what this means, we'll see in a moment. Boz yavuzu lo, he would be despised. He would be a laughing stock. People would mock him. He would be a source of mockery for the world of a person who thinks that they could acquire love with money, or a person who thinks that they can give money to remove love. If there is a band of love between two individuals, it's impossible to remove that love even for all the money in the world. And likewise, it's impossible to purchase love. Love is something which is natural. Let's see what it says in the Mitzvah. Zmayim Rabim. Lufi, why are we using over here the imagery of water? Because in the previous pasuk we focused on love being compared to fire. Now we have to remember the Mitzvah is L'shitosai. The Mitzvah learns that the fire mentioned in the previous pasuk, the Eish, Shalheves Ka, Shalheves Ya, is the fire of love, not as Rashi and the Targum explain that it refers to the fire of Gehenim, that the hatred that the Umos Ha'olam have for us, the quarrels that they have in store for us, the Muhammad they have ready for us, is a quarreling that is similar to the fires of Gehenim. According to the Mitzudos, we're discussing the love that we have for Hashem is equivalent to a love of fire. Therefore, now that we're describing this love, L'shitasai, all the waters in the world cannot extinguish this love of fire. It is impossible to remove this love. If a person would give all of the money of his home, to remove it, to exchange love for hate. I'll give you all the money in the world. I want you to transform love into hate. It's impossible. It does not work. Hine kol bnei olam yavuzu oso. The entire world would laugh at such a person. The aligu alav al shlohiski ladas, because a person is foolish. He's not wise to realize she'ef shalavat lahav. It is impossible to levat a love zos b'shum davar. And the nimshul is obvious, it's clear. It's exactly what the pasuk says. This love cannot be removed. Rashi, pasuk Zayin, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu Lichaboyse Sohava Al Shekinam Beloshan Rishafim. Since we were comparing the enemies, now Rashi is also explaining the pasuk L'shitosai. Rashi learned that the fire was the hatred of the Umos Sa'olam. The hatred of the Umos Sa'olam, Al Shekinam Beloshan Rishafim, Noif Aleim Beloshan Lo Yichabu, Mayim Rabim, all of the nations of the world. Let's see, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchu L'chaboy Sesu'ava. All of them, the Mayim Rabim, according to Rashi, are the nations of the world. Yes. They, with all of their hatred, Lo Yuchlu L'chaboy, still not going to be able to extinguish the love. And the love over here simply means the love that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we're going back to the beginning of the previous pasuk. We're now referring to the fire, the Shalheves. You know, referring just to the nations of the world. And here we're calling them water. In the previous pasuk we called them fire. And in this pasuk we're calling them water. And you're going to ask, why are we calling the nations of the world here water? Because there are two types of Yetzirah. There's a Yetzirah of fire, and there's a Yetzirah of Mayim. Fire means where there's a burning desire to do an Avera. That's the Yetzirah of fire, and that's when the Umos Olam come against us with force. And then there is the Yetzirah of water, which means when the Yetzer convinces you to make believe that you're a tzaddik. You walk around the street with a nice black hat and you make believe everything is fine and good, and inside it's all for show. Over here in one of the sermons, he writes a story that of a certain gadol. He told his talmidim that I was chasing the Yetzirah. I had him in my hands. I had a grip on his neck. I was able to conquer the Yetzirah. I chased after him, just about ready to slaughter him, but he ran into my house and he's hiding in the svarim. Now, what does that mean exactly? The Yetzirah in the street, I was almost able to conquer. The Yetzirah to do to do Averos, to be Nichshol, Avodah Gilui Arayos, Shvich HaStamim, Avodah Zarah. I was just about to conquer the Yetzirah in the street. But then he ran into my home and he's hiding in the bookcase. He transformed himself into a new Yetzirah, a religious Yetzirah. to do mitzvos, to make believe you're doing a mitzvah l'shem shemayim, when really you're doing all the mitzvos just for show, just for covet, just to earn credit in the eyes of the Umos Solom. So that's what the first one here explained. Here, according to Rashi, Rashi over here is dramatically changing the nature of the Umos Solom, which is synonymous with the Yetzirah. In the previous pasuk, we first called them Eish, they're fire, and now in the very next pasuk we call the Umos Olam, we call the Yetzer Mayim. Mayim is something that is pleasant. Hoy kol tzame luchu l'mayim. When the Yetzer takes on a different disguise, when he takes on the form of a tzaddik, lo yuchu l'chabay seswav, even this type of Yetzer will not be able to extinguish the love that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the next Rashi. Through strength and fear, through enticement, it's not going to work. If a person will give all of his money, cleaves. Hashem and his Bezin testifies that Klal Yisrael cleaves to their beloved, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it is impossible for this love to be separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what you do. Let's see Targum, we're running out of time. Targum Pasuk Zayin. Targum says, Omar Mori Omar Liyame Beis Yisrael, Ilulei Miskanshin Al Amamaya Dim Silin Limo Diyama. If you will gather, if they will gather all of the nations, if all the nations of the world who are compared to the seas of the world, all the waters, would gather against Klal Yisrael, the Idun Sagin, which are mighty, lo yochlin limtape yos rachamai minich, they will not be able to silence, they'll not be able to sink the love that I have for you, that Hashem has for you. In other words, at the time of this Milchemes Goig u'Magoig, when all of the nations of the world will gather against Yerushalayim, and that's what it means here, the Mayim Rabim, all of the waters, the Umos Olam will gather, lo yuch l'chabes v'avo, they're not going to be able to go and extinguish, to put out the love that Hashem has for us. V'i miskanfin kol malchei ara, we just can repeat this theme, the Nahorois refers to the kings, if all of the nations will join in an alliance against Yerushalayim. The E miskanfin kol malchi arva din silin, which are compared lemo nahar to the waters of the river, dinogev biskof, which flow with intensity biskof, lo yachlin limimche yosich ne olma, they will be unable to drown you, to erase you, to scrub you out from this world. Vilule yohiv gevar kol mimon beisei limikne chokma sabi golusa, and if a person will give, now we go to an entirely new theme. If a person will give all of his money in Golus to acquire Chachma, if a person, when he's in Golus, a whole new idea, will invest in the study of Torah, he will give away all of his wealth in order to acquire Chachma, Ano, Hashem says, do not worry, this is the best investment you can possibly make. Ano mehadar le kefil, I'll give you double. La olma de osse, the next world. The whole business, all of the spoils. The yivzun min mashri yose de goik, all of the spoils that you will take from the booty of Goig u'Magog, Yehei delay will be yours. Targum here is opening us up to fascinating concepts that we've never heard of before. First it tells us that in Tom Mashiach we're going to have a situation where it's Mayim Rabim, and Ohoros is going to be the entire world will be against us, that's the Mayim, and all of the leaders, all of the nations that flow strong like a river will be against us. But anything that they do will be unable to deter us from our connection, our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the second half of the pasuk tells us how to survive in Golus. It's to invest in Jewish education. Okay, this is a great pasuk, a great speech for a fundraising event for a yeshiva. Im yitei nish es kol hod beiso bo'ava. If a person here in this room, in the banquet, will give away all of his money, you're guaranteed to get back double. Double. Where can you do an investment today? What can you invest in today to get back double your money? You can't even get 1% in the bank. Get double. 100%. In olam, it says in the net. What does it say? What are the exact words? La'olma da'asei, to feel double la'olma da'asei, and furthermore, there's going to be milchames goygu magoyk, and mechal goygu magoyk. All the wealth of the world will be lying at the gate of Yerushalayim. But guess what? Not everyone is going to be allowed to take what he wants. You're not going to be allowed. It's going to be off limits. The only ones that are going to be able to take from the spoils of milchames goygu magoyk are the people in this world who invest in Jewish education. The people who give away their money for the study of Torah to acquire the Chochmah Kodesh Baruch Hu, they can go out, have a pass to go out and take whatever you want among the spoils of Milchemet Skoy Gumag. Very fascinating ideas. Before we go further, I'll tell you one word from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that it's very common, the mitzvahs of this world is the more you have something, the more you dislike it. Familiarity breeds contempt. You get used to something. If every single day you have the same thing for lunch, you can come to vomit. When you just hear what they're serving for lunch, I had that every single day for the last 20 years. I can't eat more cucumbers. How many cucumbers can you eat already if I eat cucumbers every single day? So that may be true when it comes to the physical world, but when it comes to Torah, there's no such thing. A person should not make a mistake. I think that if you learn every single day, I'm bored. I learned yesterday, I learned the day before, I learned for the last 20 years. I'm already bored. It's no different than eating the same food every single day for 20 years. That's what this pasuk says. Mayim rabim. Mayim is a mashal for Torah. Hoy kol tzame l'chu l'mayim. Even if it's mayim rabim, I've consumed enormous quantities of water. You would think you're satisfied. I don't need to learn anymore. I have no longer a love for learning. No, lo yuchlu lechabois es ho'ahava. That's not the nature when it comes to Torah. The more you have, the more you want. You're unable, all the abundance of water, you'll never be able to extinguish the love that you have for Torah. Unuharos, even rivers of Torah, lo yishtefua, will not cause the love you have for Hashem's Torah to be swept away. In fact, it's just the opposite. The more you have, the more you thirst for more. Emitinish is called Honbeso Boahava, and the person will give all of his money for Ava. Money is also the similar idea. You cannot acquire the love for Torah. The only way you could acquire love for Torah is to actually learn Torah. Giving money to tzedakah is not going to give you a love for Torah. Learning the Torah is what's going to give you the love for Torah. Even if you give all of your money, bows your vuzulo, the thing, the person gives money, they put the name on the building, right? This is the opposite. We live in the Olam Hafach. When you give money, you give money to an institution. Ki chabed achabedcha me'oid. Your name will go on the building. It says here just the opposite. If you'll give all of your money to support Torah, guess what? Bows your vuzulo. They'll laugh at you. Because giving your money is not going to give the ahav. The love for Torah only comes through the learning of Torah, not just the giving money. You can't buy love. Love has to be acquired, has to develop. Okay, we'll stop here.
All right, Rabbi. So the end of the speech, I don't think the guys make it.
It's not going to work, right? It's not going to work.
He says the first part. The second part. What do we got today, Rabbi?
Got today two handouts, two pages. One, and here is two.
This is new, Rabbi.
It's new.
We're not doing
this. We're doing both.
How are you feeling?
It's going to overwhelm us.
I will overwhelm you. Don't worry. I can overwhelm you.